The Coles fracture was named after Abraham Coles, 1773 to 1843, an Irish surgeon who first described this injury. It is a fracture of the distal radius in the forearm, or a break at the wrist end of the radius bone, with dorsal and radial displacement of the fractured bone, resulting in the characteristic dinner fork deformity, and is frequently accompanied by a fracture of the ulnar styloid. The fracture is common among postmenopausal elderly women who may be suffering from osteoporosis, which greatly increases the risk of fracture. Coles fractures, however, can happen to younger people when they fall onto a hard surface and break their fall with outstretched arms, or a radius bone is subjected to external force in an accident. There are many treatment options for distal radius fractures, DRFs, but the common goal is to enable the patient to attain his or her prior level of functioning. The doctor considers such factors as the nature of the fracture, the patient's age and activity level, and discusses with the patient about the best treatment option for his or her needs and wishes. Many DRFs can be treated conservatively. When the alignment of the fractured bone is out of place, the doctor realigns the broken bone fragments and corrects the deformity, which is a process called reduction, technically. After the process of manipulative reduction, a splint or cast may be placed on the arm, and the injured wrist will be immobilized in palmar flexion and ulnar deviation for about 5 weeks. In the case in which the bone is splintered into three or more fragments, which is technically called comminuted fracture, or intra-articular injury which is too severe to be treated with manipulative reduction, surgery may be required to improve the alignment of the bone, and there are many ways of performing surgery. External fixation is utilized if necessary to assure rigid immobilization after surgery. Most patients can return to their former activities after a DRF, but the degree of the injury, the kind of treatment, and the patient's response to the treatment all affect how quickly and to what extent the patient can recover. While the wrist is immobilized in a cast, passive and active exercises of the fingers are required at an early stage to prevent articular contracture of the fingers. Muscle strengthening exercises should be started with care after consulting the attending doctor after fracture healing has been confirmed and the cast has been removed. Therapists need to pay proper attention to edema, pain, scar formation, and reflex sympathetic dystrophy caused by excessive exercise during rehabilitation.